I want to say good morning to Senator Niall Blaney. Good morning, Niall.
Morning, Greg.
Good morning. Thank you very much for joining us. And we're joined also by Deputy Charles Ward of the 100% Redress Party. Good morning, Charles. Thank you for joining us.
Good morning, Greg. Good morning to the listeners.
I have you both loud and clear. Right. Okay. So, Senator Blaney, I don't want to paraphrase incorrectly, so I'll just read some of the comments that seem to have peed off some listeners, and I presume Deputy Ward here. You said that in relation to the defective concrete blocks grant scheme, sometimes the spoof that is spun out of these houses is a little hard to take. If some of the spoofers had their way, there'd be a whole lot of people in Donegal sitting in crumbling homes and might have even fallen on them at this stage. Thanks to the efforts and the work that has gone on thus far, there is real progress in Donegal, we can report. So just in fairness, whilst you're here, just sort of tease out those comments for me.
Yeah, well, I suppose I might take you back to the start of what I said, and that's in context, Greg. I said maybe it's no harm if we have a refresh of the journey we've come, and you can check that that's what I started with. And I went over that journey, and I did talk about those with an Leinster house, the spoofers. And I'll talk about that journey because the first time we went to put forward legislation and make changes to this legislation, there was those representatives on the opposition. Charles wasn't there at that stage. There was those representatives in the opposition that called us to scrap the scheme. And we took an awful lot of flak because it wouldn't scrap the scheme. And this is the main point of contention here. If we scrap the scheme, nothing will be starting until now. And this is the big point about all this. Those that knew so much, but the reality is there was those in the opposition done a whole lot over the last number of years to wreck the scheme, but have actually done nothing for the people on the ground. And I talk specifically about the two Sinn Féin representatives, because they have talked an awful lot about the changes needed, etc. It has never been their party policy that they would address this, number one. Number two, they never ever tried to change legislation themselves. They could take in a private member's motion, one motion, a two-page, whatever they wanted to change, they could have changed it and they never done so. Mm. And there's a reason for that, because Sinn Féin have a different story south of the border compared to north of the border.
In relation to that, though, I mean, well, Sinn Féin aren't here to defend themselves. I'm sure they're well capable of it, though. Their proposal is a completely different scheme. Why would you amend the scheme when you're proposing something completely different? And secondly, you know,
Here's the point.
No, just let me say the second bit and then come back. And secondly, as well, too, there was opportunities maybe where there could have been scrutiny of this bill, where opposition parties could have had their say, and that was, the government circumnavigated that. So that could have been an opportunity that was taken from other politicians to have more of an impact on this scheme. Are any of those points, in your view, fair?
Well, the scrutiny on this part of legislation has been waived by the opposition. But what I'll say to you is this. There never has been a proposal in legislation by Sinn Féin. They have looked to put on amendments to our legislation, but they never ever had a proposal of their own. Why? They believe in this. And the reality of this is clear in Northern Ireland. They're on pyrite and defective concrete block issues. So was their own, so was Fermanagh. And if they legislated in one jurisdiction, they're caught in the other. Mm-hmm. And that's the reality here, speaking out of both sides of their mouths.
Yep.
The same with the A5. They won't address the A5.
Okay, but I mean, obviously,
they open their mouth about it.
Yep.
And at the same time, we're losing out in the northwest. I never heard Sinn Féin as quiet in all my life in the last 3 months on the A5. Disgraceful, what's going on.
Right. Oh, on to your comments. On to your comments in relation to you believing that good progress has been made. You know, and I'll bring Deputy Charles Ward in a moment because I'm sure he's got plenty to say. But in relation to the progress that has been made, what kind of progress is it? Of the 200, almost 300 houses, you know, that have been repaired, half of them have had external leaf or other remediation done, which is not really the full job. So if you actually look at the amount of houses that have been properly rebuilt, that being said, I don't know about the foundations, it is actually really quite small in the wider scale of things, Niall, in reality, though, isn't it?
that's only a very small picture of what's going on, Greg. There's 3,500 now have indicated in relation to taking part in the scheme. There's over 800 that have been given a grant allocation. There's over 500 houses in Donegal currently under construction. So that's a whole different picture to what you're just painting. And, you know, there's a job for us all now, Greg, to get behind this, because there are many new contractors in Donegal starting up, and many people now want to rebuild their houses. And there are lots of good stories, but there's something about it that we're afraid to let a good story out. There's people really, really happy in their skin that have got their house done. Now, I'm the first to say this scheme isn't what we want it yet. There are still issues with it. And I pointed them out in the channel the last day as well, Greg.
Yeah, okay.
If you want to go with those.
Okay, we'll stay there and we can come back to that. Deputy Charles Ward's been waiting patiently there. We need to let the good news out, Charles Ward. There's an awful lot more going on than you might give the government credit for.
So over 3 years, there's been 121 homes built, right? And half of them, they were option ones. We don't know if they've removed the foundation. So out of them ones that were rebuilt, we don't know, will they have to be revisited and repaired in the future? That's option ones. If we're talking about options, outer leaf remediation, there's 92 on that. And what that tells you there is that these houses will have to be done again. And regarding the 3,000 applicants, well, I can safely tell you that I'm one of them 3,000, and I've been in the scheme since 2020. And I can't avail of it because of the engineering decision is the wrong decision for my house. This is my house here, Greg. That's the cracks on the wall. That's my child's bedroom. That's what I'm living with there. Every single day, and every one of us. And what Niall needs to remember is words are very important. And people look for hope. And people look to people who are elected to provide them with hope. And the time for calling spoofers and all this is gone. We need to get behind this. This scheme has failed on two occasions, and it will fail again. Pre-legislation scrutiny wasn't wavered by the opposition. I was on that committee. It was taken by an email vote that was anonymously taken, and I could not, and this is where it was unconstitutional, I could not find out the information of who took the vote. And what that done then was it passed, pre-legislation scrutiny passed, and 43 homeowners were abandoned. And we're talking about language here, and it's very important to be accurate with the language here. You know what I mean? I'll give you an example. We have a survey done where there's varying different levels of borrowings, okay? At the top end of it, we have five people currently that's on the scheme that are on the scheme that have borrowed 50,000. 150,000. We have five that have borrowed 120. We have seven that borrowed 100. Now, the size of their houses are 2,100 square feet and upwards. So once you go past 2,100 square feet, you go beyond that into an ordinary rural house in Ireland, right? And the shortfalls are into the hundreds of thousands. The semi-detached homes are into 60 to 80,000. There hasn't been one single person that have contacted us, and I'm on the ground everywhere, that have said that they're in their house and they're happy. They're in their house and they're glad to be in their house, but they're also in thousands of euros of debt, and the 8.5% retrospective payment that is actually coming to them is swallowed because that bill is waiting to be paid. That 8% has gone in a year, and in January for those going forward, Roadstone are putting up their prices by 8%. So we are so far behind with this. And, you know, I just feel like language is the most important thing. And, you know, for example, if we're looking at the square footage rates, to rebuild a house down Donegal, the square footage rate is 2,580 square foot, depending on the size, all the way up to 2,880 square feet. Now, that means that you're at the top end of the scale, as in you've got a four-bedroom house, right, out in the countryside, and it's a good size of a house, a good family home. You're going to be short 150,000 to 200,000, depending on your finish.
Okay, well, let me bring Senator Blaney in directly on that, because I do want to talk about those that are potentially, having success on this scheme. But, I mean, Niall, Charles there laid out, you know, pretty stark figures there. It can't be ignored. I presume you don't dispute them. So if you don't, what is your message to those people who can be up to €150,000 short replacing their house that is lost through no fault of their own?
Well, I don't know for those that the charge to speak of, so I can't question what he's saying in relation to the people he's been talking to. All I can tell you is what I've been hearing from the people I've been talking to, Greg. I know houses up to 2,500 square foot that have been rebuilt at no cost to the homeowner and from there down. And there's, I suppose, there's issues around all of this, Greg, and I suppose there's issues around cost and what some contractors are charging. And the variation in the pricing is something else. I did hear Charles saying in the dial the last night with block layers looking for up to €4 a block, and that could go up to €8. Like, some figures they got for me is nonsense, because I know plenty of block layers that are working for €2 a block. I know contractors that are pricing a lot less than others. So there's a whole lot of issues around that.
Are you saying there's gouging? Niall, are you saying there's gouging going on amongst some contractors?
There's definitely gouging going on. Absolutely, there is. But I think competition and time will sort that, because as time has evolved, there's more and more people now actually becoming builders and developers. So the more competition we have, the better pricing there will be.
Niall, just in relation to the houses that you know, 2,500 square feet being built with no penalty whatsoever, right? If you go into that number, but are you of the view, and would you be campaigning that someone in a larger house, 3,000 square metres or whatever it might be, should be able to rebuild their house at no additional cost to themselves? Like, are you campaigning for that yourself directly?
Yeah, so the last... The piece that you're taking this morning when I addressed the minister last week, this is one of the points I made with him, because I pointed out a number of issues that are still outstanding, and this is one of them, where you go over that 2,500. For instance, Greg, say you had a house 3,500 and you'd having to downsize to come inside the grant and to afford it, but you're still paying a mortgage for 3,500. That's still an anomaly with the scheme, and I've asked them to go back and look at it again. I have no indication that that'll change in the short term, and I won't leave people up the garden path.
All right. So, Deputy Charles,
the other point is external walls and garages, boundary walls and garages are not in the scheme either. And again, I've asked, and I've been constantly asked the Minister to re-examine where it's all at. So the same issues as with the house.
So, Deputy Charles Ward, you can comment in whichever way you want, but what more can the likes of Senator Niall Blaney do? Do you think he's within the party, he's got decent access, and he's arguing for much of the same that you're arguing for? So, I mean, really, are we not to some extent on the same page?
Darragh O'Brien delivered for his constituents in the apartments, that group in the apartments, he delivered for them. Up here, because we're geographically isolated, we've been given a grant scheme. The pyrite in Dublin and North Leinster was sorted, but the pyrite in Mayo, they're the same as us. They're given a grant scheme. They're given the same shortfalls. So, and we're talking about builders up to €8. I was saying, and let me explain that point, because it was taken out of context there. What I was saying to you is this: if this continues, €4 a block is what they're charging. And I have seen it countless times. I was a block layer. I know how to build a block. I'm on the ground. I know what they're charging. I know what contractors are charging now, because contractors are like hen's teeth. There's not enough of them. But the issue is with the rate of building coming right now, the scheme will not do 700 houses a year for the next 15 years, what it needs to do to deliver it. We are hundreds of years off this. That's why this scheme will fail again. This is why we need to go end to end, like I've been saying in the first place. It's about walls and garages and stuff like this. Let's talk about the community centre that are currently affected, the doctor surgeries that are currently affected. You know what I mean? This is coming towards us. And I am there waving this flag, telling you all, If you don't get on it and you don't sort it out, you're going to have an absolute humanitarian crisis compared to what we've got right now as the tip of the iceberg, what's coming down the line. And that's why we need to get this done. It needs to go end to end. It needs to stop being politicised. It needs to realise that we've got a humanitarian crisis. We've got defective materials in Donegal, the House of Minister's own constituency. I was down there. Less than 2 miles from his office, there is a pyrite issue amongst the houses down there. So geographically isolated, it's the same problem, but it's there.
Well, one thing just in relation to contractors, I do know of one family and there was one quote of 220 and another quote of 400. So there is massive discrepancy amongst contractors. But is the truth not, just to try and move us forward, though, even in an end-to-end scheme situation, Charles, is it not the case, though, that given the scale of this, we could be talking 28,000 houses and God knows how many other buildings, this is going to be a multi-year, and people like yourself, who you I can see behind you, your kids' rooms in bits, right? Clearly, let's get you through it. But there are other people, like our own house, for an example, that probably is going to be fine for 5 or 10 years. You know, with even with the best will in the world and the best scheme in the world, there is going to be a queue.
Yeah. But let me explain that to you there, right? So the way we're doing it right now, a builder will take on 10 houses and he's a certain amount of line credit that he can have, but he'll still go into the providers and not be able to get the best buying or bargaining power. But if we have a government-led scheme where the government has to build certain amount of houses and certain amounts of this, then you get major contractors come in. Even if it's subletted out within, you will save the state money, and you will have a scheme then that's end-to-end, that's basically like they've done in Leinster.
So it would be seen as one single major infrastructural development.
Yes.
But Niall...
One single...
Senator Niall Blaney, sorry... Are you in favour of an end-to-end scheme? I mean, you know how much money's in this country in Ireland. You know, really, if it was the government's will that we could have an end-to-end fully funded scheme. You know that 1 month's corporation tax windfall we had last month would do 28,000 houses, right? So the money's there. And if we had the will, we wouldn't even be having conversations like this now. Would you like to see an end-to-end scheme? Do you think the government can look at some of those resources and say, look, let's invest these in the people, and why not Donegal this time?
I think the idea looks good in paper, Gray, but when you get down to a rally on the ground, the majority of the houses are rural houses. Every house a different design to people's own needs. If you were to go with a standard house and give everybody a standard house, that there would work. And we take the Dublin pyrite in context. The issue there was all on the subfloor. It was not replacing blockwork. It was replacing subfloors in something like two estates. And the practical thing to do was to get one developer to do the whole thing. So, you know, everybody wants their own design of house. And I can't see practically how what Charge is proposing could work on the ground, because the council couldn't go on every individual house.
No, but what I'm trying to get at from you is, right, because, you know, I mean, you do shoot from the hip at times. What I want to do is actually your view, right? You're within Fianna Fáil. You're not afraid to criticise Fianna Fáil. We've seen that with your comments in relation to the leadership. What I'm saying to you is in truth, right, you would like the government, would you not? And I'm not trying to put words in your mouth. To do more, to go end-to-end, or to find whatever system it's required, to make sure all of your friends and neighbours and family get the houses back that they deserve. I mean, you don't oppose that, do you?
I don't oppose it, but let's be practical about it. I don't think it's practically possible, Greg. You couldn't implement it on the ground because, number one, the council wouldn't have anywhere near the resources to handle every case. You're talking about handling every case individually, over design and everything else, and then a different contract for every house. There's no way a civil service would manage that.
Do you know where they're managing it though? They're managing it in the rural and vacant properties. They're doing a fantastic job in relation to that. They are managing hundreds upon hundreds of individual people separate contractors. They're doing it right now in a scheme that's designed to work simply. Why can't we just do that for these people?
There's thousands of manpower out there working that now, Greg.
No, of course, it's brilliant. It's fantastic. But what my point is...
This is the quickest way of doing it.
The council is doing precisely what you says they couldn't do, some would argue. Listen, Charles Ward, I do need to move on, but I want to give you an opportunity to come back to Senator Niall Blaney in relation to that.
Look, listen, this has been thrust upon the local authority, okay? So you take it, as you were saying, as one massive project, and that project is... defective concrete rebuild, right? That's what you call it, okay? And in this defective concrete rebuild, you come forward with a certain amount of plans for houses that are stage ready to go. You get a company in to manage this in place of the local authority. Now, there is a number of large contractors in Donegal, in Ireland that would be salivating at the cost of getting their hands on this scheme, that have the buying power, that have the capacity to do it and deliver. What we're doing right now is we have the ordinary builder out there with no buying power or ability or no proper credit lines, where there is a scheme that could work.
But I'll say the same to you, Charles, as I did to Niall Blaney. If you take that scheme I used as an example, if it's a simple scheme where you feel you get the money and you could get stage payments, but it's a simple scheme, people can actually potentially manage it themselves, because we're seeing it happening in, as I say, hundreds and thousands of people. So maybe it's just that your ask is too far, and maybe somewhere in between can actually get us things moving. I agree also, I could understand from Senator Niall Blaney's perspective that there are people in new homes now, and there is good news out there as well. But obviously, Niall, and you know the game, right? It's the same in the hospital. 85% of people have very positive experiences, but you know, it doesn't mean that you can't sort of platform those that do not. But I think we all have that understanding.
Absolutely great. But I'll say this much. You know, that 85% do talk about the positive experience in the hospital. If we don't, if people have their say with the good news, you know, it doesn't inspire confidence.
And we do, just in case, and I'm not being defensive, because you're not having a go, but we do that. Deputy Charles Ward, listen, thank you so much for joining us. I really do appreciate it. Look after yourself.